Yes, right? In most of our assemblies, much of the time is devoted to preaching. And it's devoted to preaching for a good reason. We should be studying and learning from the Word of God. It's good to have one to expound upon the Word of God so that we can learn from it and see points that we may not have otherwise seen. But why do we spend so much of our assembly preaching and listening to the gospel? Of course, we have authority to do that. We understand that. We're having a class on Wednesday night about singing and the importance of singing, even how to sing and so forth. And we looked in last week's lesson on Sunday evening about singing as far as worshiping God when singing, so we understand that's important. But why do we spend so much time preaching? You know, we're starting now 10 to 15 after until the end of service pretty much, and there's going to be a sermon. We spend a lot of time preaching the gospel. Why do we do that? Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13. We're going to look at a couple of verses in 1 Timothy 4, and then we're going to go to 2 Timothy 4 after that. But right now, 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 13. As Paul is writing to the young preacher, Timothy is a young preacher. He needs encouragement. He needs to be taught, know what his responsibility is. He says to Timothy, "Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." I don't think a preacher can spend too much time in his office studying. Because if you're going to do what Timothy's told to do, where you give attention to reading, exhortation, and doctrine, he has to know. He has to read, he has to study, he has to understand, have an understanding of that. Verse 16, "Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine, continue in them," but notice what it's for. "For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you." So you're studying for yourself so you learn, but then you're going to be preaching, you're going to be saying words that when they hear you, that's going to save them also. Now go to 2 Timothy chapter 4 with me, verses 1 through 2. Of 2 Timothy 4 says, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom." And this again is Paul charging Timothy. This is what you're to do, Timothy. "Preach the word." So, okay, he's in his office. He's studying it. He's learning it. He's soaking it all in. He's reading and studying and working at coming to a conclusion on it, and then he's going to preach the word, according to verse 2, "to be ready in season and out of season," and in preaching he's going to convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. So we understand that preaching is important both to save the preacher and to save those who are listening to the preacher. You know, even though there is preaching, though, even though one will stand up in a service like this and we have time set aside where the gospel is preached, people will respond to that preaching in different ways. Some are going to be informed and inspired. Others are going to be bored and unimpressed. And the reason for that is because we get out of it what we put into it. And that's up to us. When we have a sermon, it's up to us. It doesn't matter whether the preacher's good or not. It doesn't matter whether or not the preacher is speaking in a very exciting way or not. What matters is that he's preaching the word and we're listening to it and we're making it fit with our lives. And that's what we all have to do as we hear a gospel sermon and as we are involved in a gospel sermon together. So what we're going to do in our lesson today, we're going to talk about preaching and listening. We're going to first of all learn the benefits of preaching the gospel. Why is it so important? We're going to learn the proper way to listen to the gospel, and then we're going to learn ways that we can get more out of sermons, where we can even more and more grow from sermons. We've talked about growing while singing in last week's lesson. This is really growing through sermons and how we can get more out of them. Let's look first of all at the benefits of having preaching. The first thing we need to understand is that when there is preaching, one is blessed by what he or she hears. Now we can turn over to Matthew chapter 13 and look at verses 16 through 17 of Matthew chapter 13. And later in the lesson, we're going to be coming back and looking at another few verses in Matthew chapter 13. But for now, just look with me at verses 16 through 17, which says, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." We can learn so much from God's word if we will only listen to it. These are people he's talking about who wanted to hear it, who were longing to hear it and weren't ever able to. But now Jesus is there preaching it and they have opportunity to hear the word of God. And what a blessing that was for them that they now have that opportunity. Christ has blessed us with every spiritual blessing, we're told in Ephesians 1 and verse 3, and that includes God's Word. And so why not, when we have opportunity, why don't we truly listen to the Word of God as it is being taught, as it is being preached, so that we won't miss out on such a wonderful blessing? When we think about being blessed according to God's Word or by God's Word, we realize that part of that is that we will develop faith by hearing God's Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17 teaches us. So we hear God's Word, which has the power to save our souls, Romans 1 and verse 16 tells us. So it has the power to save our souls, and we hear it, and we develop faith because of it. You know, one can develop that faith by turning and reading Scripture ourselves, and certainly we do that through our Bible study, our personal Bible study. When we read the Bible, we can certainly be encouraged by it and develop faith because of it. But when you think about the opportunity to actually be involved in a sermon where you're actually there listening to it, that's so much more growth that can take place. And the faith that can be developed. And you know, there's some people even that aren't going to take the time to read it themselves. They're not going to take the time to study it themselves. But then they can come and just sit down. Sit on a pew. And they don't even have to open their Bibles. And we'll talk about that later, that it's best to do that. But you just sit down and somebody's going to come up and just read God's Word to you. You know, what an opportunity that is for people who may not have any interest otherwise. And that's what a gospel sermon does. That's a benefit of preaching, so that we have opportunities such as that for people to come and hear. Even if we do study on our own time, which we all should, we should all read the Bible and look into it ourselves, look into it personally. But even if we do that, it's such a blessing to be able to listen to God's Word being preached. And we it's good for us to take advantage of that. As we are blessed through the preaching of the gospel, we are developing faith through the preaching of the gospel. We also understand that we bear fruit because of the preaching of the gospel. Look with me over now at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, we're going to look at verses 5 through 6 of this passage. Colossians 1, beginning in verse 5, says, "Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth." Now, did you get all that? Did you see? Verse 5, it says, the gospel has come to them. What happened when the gospel came to them and to all who are in the world? It brings forth fruit, so a result of the gospel is fruit. Well, how did they get the gospel? Since the day you heard it. What do you think they heard? They heard it being preached to them. This is the gospel being delivered to you. You have it now. You can go bear fruit. That's how this process works. And that's why we preach the gospel, so that as we hear it, we can bear fruit because of it. The New American Standard Bible uses the word understood instead of knew, where it says, "You heard and knew the grace of God in truth." You heard and understood. Well, you understand because as it's preached, you come to an understanding of what is being preached, and then you go out and bear fruit. That's the process. By carefully listening to God's Word, we can know God's grace, and we can desire to bear fruit for Him. Now, in that, as we are blessed through the preaching, as we develop faith because of the preaching, as we then go out and bear fruit because of the preaching, it will also help us from apostasy. It will keep us from apostasy, keep us from turning away from God. Now, when you think about this passage here is in Hebrews chapter 2. We can turn there and read that. But when you think about people who fall away, what's one reason why people fall away? Well, people oftentimes, and it's different for different folks, but people oftentimes stop coming to church. What happens when they stop coming to church? Well, they stop hearing gospel sermons. So they're not receiving that blessing of receiving a gospel sermon anymore. It's not developing faith in them because they're not listening to the sermon, and they're certainly not bearing fruit anymore. And that is a process which starts by not going to church anymore, not hearing the preaching, and then not caring. And that's what it really comes down to. It eventually, they get to the point where they have hardened their hearts and they're not interested. And the Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1 says this, "Therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away." Give a more earnest heed to the things we have heard. Now again, you can hear by reading it, but when you hear a gospel sermon and you give an earnest heed to that gospel sermon, then that will keep you from drifting away. That's the point. And if you don't, then you might drift away. For, verse 2, "If the word spoken through angels proves steadfast in every transgression," and the angels there is just a messenger, a servant, a messenger, one who is preaching the gospel. "The word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard Him?" There's a danger of turning away from the gospel if we're not hearing gospel sermons. How are we going to give a more earnest heed to the things that we have heard if we're not hearing anything. And so we need to keep that in mind as we think about ourselves and our own souls. Once we start missing and once we start not hearing the gospel anymore, it will become less and less important in our lives. Well, let's think now about those different kinds of hearers. Because again, a gospel sermon can be preached by a very capable preacher, and really it doesn't matter. It may be a preacher who's preached for years and years and years, is just an excellent speaker, and everybody loves to come and hear him. But still, the reaction to that sermon will be different based upon the hearts of the hearers. The first one we're going to talk about are those who are dull of hearing. The ones who are dull of hearing, this phrase is actually over in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11. And this is in regard as the Hebrew writer is wanting to tell them something, but they're not mature enough to handle it yet. And so he chides them for being immature. But he says in verse 11, says, "Of whom we have much to say and hard to explain." And he wants to explain to them about Melchizedek, but he says, "You're not ready for that. Since you have become dull of hearing." That's what he accuses them of. They're dull of hearing. When you think about one being dull of hearing, it's very difficult to teach them anything. They've gotten to a point where they're not going to be taught anymore. And that may be for various reasons. It may be a lack of interest. Maybe they're unwilling to try to understand what the truth is. But again, the point is not, it's not going to be with the material. The problem's not going to be with this. It's not going to be the Scripture's fault. It's their hearing is dull. That's the problem. You know, the back to Matthew chapter 13, where we were before. We back up just a little bit from where we read before. We read verses 16 and 17 earlier, but I want us to go back to Matthew chapter 13 and read verses 13 through 15 now, and what Jesus says. And he refers to a prophecy that Isaiah spoke. But he says, "Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear." That's because they're dull of hearing. "Nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull.'" Their hearts are dull. They're dull of hearing. "Your ears are hard of hearing, and your eyes, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their ears, or see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them." They had opportunity for that, but they were dull of hearing. And so they weren't going to take advantage of that opportunity. People who are dull of heart, their hearts prevent them from understanding God's Word. Is it a lack of want to? It might be. Is it a lack of just flat out uninterested? It might be that. Is it because it's too hard and they don't want to try? Maybe it's that. For whatever reason it is, they're not going to listen anymore. So you can preach all day, but it's up to the hearer to open up their hearts and accept it. The second kind of listener are those who have itching ears. And if we continue on in 1 Timothy chapter 4 from where we just read, and we look, 2 Timothy chapter 4, I'm sorry, 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we continue on from after we read verse 4 or verse 2 about preaching the Word. Verse 3 then says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." They're going to find somebody who preaches something they like. if somebody's preaching something, a message that they don't want anything to do with, they'll go find somebody who will. That's the itching ears. I'm going to find a teacher who will please me. And I'm only going to listen to a preacher who preaches something that I like, that I agree with. If a preacher preaches something that I disagree with, whether it's in the Bible or not, whether it's Scripture or not, I don't really care. I'm not going to listen to that one. That's the idea of having itching ears. So think about the same sermon is preached. Some people are going to completely close themselves off to it. That's dull of hearing. Some people are going to say, I don't agree with this one. I'm going to go find somebody else and go listen to another sermon instead. They don't like the sound doctrine. And when they are rebuked in verse 2, when they are exhorted with all longsuffering and teaching, when he tries to convince them, they'll turn their hearts away. But then, as far as the listeners are concerned, there are those who actually listen with noble and good hearts. Like as the parable of the sower talks about, as the seed fell on good ground. And Luke 8 and verse 15 is the fulfillment of those seeds as they fall on the hearts of men. When it falls on the good ground, on the good heart, on a noble and good heart, they're the ones who will accept it. They're the ones that the seed will sink down into the soil. And a prime example of that is the Bereans. Acts chapter 17 and verse 11 tells us about the Bereans. And you remember how as Paul was traveling through, he went to Thessalonica. And he was persecuted very heavily in Thessalonica as he preached there. He converted some souls, but even the Christians there, after they became Christians, they were heavily persecuted. And so then he travels down to Berea, and they're different in Berea, we're told in verse 11. They, we're told, were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. That's the kind of noble and good heart that is expected. Where the word is preached, we're not going to accept it just because the preacher said it. We're going to search the Scriptures and we're going to see, is this true? If it is, then we're going to accept it. If it's not, we're not going to accept it. But if it's true and we don't agree with it, we're going to accept it anyway. If it's true and we're doing the opposite of what it says, we're going to change. That's a noble and good heart. People who have itching ears don't do that. People who are dull of hearing do not do that. What kind of listener are we? When someone stands up and preaches the gospel, when we hear a sermon, what kind of listener are we? Are we ready to open our hearts and accept what the truth is? The last part of this lesson is going to be how we can get more out of the preaching. How can we get more out of sermons? And there are several things I want us to discuss on this point in order to hopefully make us better listeners, better at being involved in the sermon itself. The first thing I believe we need to do in order to get more out of sermons is we need to make listening an act of worship. As we have been studying our singing, we understand that singing is worship, and we're trying to gear ourselves toward the thought process that as we're singing, we are worshiping God. We're praising Him, we're giving Him thanksgiving, we're encouraging one another, we are worshiping God. And we need to do that with a gospel sermon also. When someone stands up, maybe if there's somewhere where there's a scripture reading, and they read the scripture, then we need to be listening to that scripture reading in such a way that we are giving it the respect it deserves, and that we are appreciating what we are hearing from the scripture reading. Just like when we pray, we're praying together in that way. When we sing, we're singing together in that way. We need to think the same way when it comes to the preaching of the gospel, that we're going to look at it in that way. When we have opportunities to listen, we need to do it with the spirit of worship. I think about how maybe we all would respond if there was someone who may be very famous, someone we think very highly of, that we're going to be able to listen to them give a speech. I think if someone came who I really looked up to, who I really thought a lot about, and they were going to speak, I think I'd hang on their every word. I would listen so intently and pay attention so closely because I would think so much about that person. Now, the difference is you wouldn't do that with the preacher. It's not because of the preacher. It's because the Word is God's Word. And so we're hanging on God's Word. We're paying very close attention to what God has to say. And that's how we should look at it and how we should respect it. The preaching of God's Word deserves as much attention as a speech from some famous person we think a lot about. It deserves much more attention than that. And so we need to look at it in that manner and think of it that way. Not just, oh, well, okay, here's another sermon that's going to go for, what, 35 minutes and I'll sit here during that. No, we're going to think about what's being said and what's being taught very intently as it is being taught. And on the other side of that, if the preacher is teaching false, teach something that's not true, then we will intently listen and see that untruth and not accept that as truth. But it goes certainly goes both ways. But we're going to make listening an act of worship. Number two, the second thing we need to do, we need to listen to the entire lesson. Some people may listen intently for 5 minutes and then their minds start wandering to something else. I often use the illustration, if we're going to read a book, would we pick up the book and would we just read maybe one line on each page of the book? At the end of the book, if you did that, would you have any idea what the book said? Or even if you picked it up and you read the first 5 pages and set it down and said, all right, I've read this book and there's 300 pages, would you have any idea what that book is about? No, we would have to listen to the whole book by reading the whole book. Preaching of the gospel, listening to a gospel sermon takes just as much attention. And a good way to do that is to make sure that we follow along with the preacher, that we turn in our Bibles, that we listen to the introduction, and then we listen to each point that he makes, and then we listen to the conclusion, and we concentrate on the message at hand. One unique thing about preaching is that as we all go our separate ways and we're in our homes and we read the Bible, you may read one passage and I read another passage and we're all learning different things. But when we come together, all our minds are centered on the same topic. Should be. As we are listening to the sermon, as we are studying the class, as we are singing the song, as we are saying the prayer, all our minds are focused on the same thing. And that's how it needs to be with a sermon, as we're listening. We're listening to each part of it. Now, one thing that's challenging is that sometimes as we're listening to a sermon, and I'm guilty of this, I'll throw my hand up first, and I'm preaching to myself in this lesson as much as anybody else. I'm guilty of this. When we're listening to a sermon, sometimes we may hear the preacher say something, and it makes us think of something. And I do this because sometimes I'm like, okay, how am I going to get a sermon out of this, you know? So I'm listening to him and I hear a point and I say, bingo, that's a good point. And then I start trying to figure it out in my head. And as I'm trying to figure out that sermon in my head, guess what I'm not doing? not listening to the preacher anymore. So a better way to do that is to kind of just mark it down to the side, mark down the point, and get back to it later. But keep listening to the preacher and keep following along the points. Another thing that we sometimes do is that we hear the sermon say, the preacher say something in the sermon, and it may make us think of something else. And then that may make us think of something else, and then that make us think of something else. And by the time we ever get back to him, we've lost 5 minutes. That's what we call chasing rabbits. If you're going to chase a rabbit, the rabbit's going to dart over here, the rabbit's going to dart over there, the rabbit's going to dart over there. And if you have a dog chasing a rabbit, then he's going to chase that rabbit for a little while until he sees the squirrel over here. Then he's going to go chase the squirrel, and then he's going to go see something else, and he's going to chase it. That's the idea that some people do with sermons. As we're going along, we're preaching, we're listening to the sermon together, then as we hear something, we start chasing those rabbits and we lose the point of the sermon. So we need to focus on that and make sure that we listen to the entire lesson. Make sure that we hear each point of it. Number three, look at the preacher. Oh, that may sound strange to look at the preacher, and I know that some preachers may not be very attractive to look at. You may not like having to look at me. You'd probably much better me bring Yolanda up here and everybody look at her while I preach. But look at the preacher. Look at the preacher, because it's going to help you concentrate on the lesson. Now, I understand you're going to have to look down at your Bible to look at Scripture. Many of you take notes. That's wonderful. If you take notes, then that's going to keep you focused on the lesson, and that's great. But look at the preacher. Looking elsewhere makes it easy for our minds to wander. Closing our eyes makes it easy for us to go to sleep. And it takes self-discipline. But it's necessary to have a longer attention span. And there's going to be distractions. And you know as well as I do, when we sit in church together, when we sit in an assembly together, there are distractions everywhere. There's people who are going to be coughing and sneezing over here. There's going to be babies crying over here. Babies crying and talking and cooing. And it's cute. And we're going to want to turn our attention and focus on that. People are going to be getting up and leaving the auditorium to go to the restroom and to do whatever. People are going to want to be turning and paying attention to those things. But instead of that, we need to focus on the lesson. We don't need to let these other distractions take us away from that. It's tempting to turn and look at the cute baby crying. It's tempting to look at the cute baby who's talking to you. But it's best for us to stay focused on the lesson and to pay attention to that. We can get more out of sermons fourth if we read along in our Bibles. And we've already addressed that some. But it certainly is beneficial if we do that. It's going to help us to see something. Yeah, we have visual aids now that we have PowerPoint like this, but it's good to have a visual aid in front of you too. Your Bible is your best visual aid. So as the preacher is preaching and turning to the passages and reading them, yeah, listen to the words being read, but read along also. It will again help you to stay focused on the lesson. It's a good habit to get into. And then finally, the last thing I want us to talk about is that when we listen, we need to listen with a mind to act. What the preacher says, if it is truth, we're going to act upon that. Look in Hebrews, what the Hebrew writer says with me in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 2. Remember the children of Israel as they were wandering in the wilderness. They lost out on the promised land because they did not listen to God with faith. The Hebrew writer says in verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 4, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. It was preached to them, but they weren't moved by it. It didn't affect them. It didn't cause them to have faith. And so again, they fell in the wilderness. They were not able to enter into the promised land because of their sins. Another passage I want us to look at, and I had that on the screen, I'm sorry. Ezekiel chapter 33. Look at the attitude during Ezekiel's day of the ones in Ezekiel chapter 33 in regard to the preaching of the gospel. And I want to tell you what, as a preacher, I've seen this so much. I'm relatively young, but I've seen this so much in preaching the length of time that I've had through the years, and it's sad when you see this, but this is truth right here today. This is talking about then, but this applies right now. Ezekiel 33 and verse 30. As for you, son of man, the children of your people are talking about you beside the walls and in the doors of the houses. And they speak to one another, everyone saying to his brother, please come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord. Now what they're doing, they're saying, this prophet here, you need to listen to him. You need to hear him. He is going to rip off a sermon like you've never heard before, and it's so powerful and so good. You need to come and you need to hear this lesson. Verse 31, so they come to you as people do. They sit before you as my people, and they hear your words, but they do not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. Indeed, you are to them as a very lovely song of one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear your words, but they do not do them. There's nothing more frustrating than a preacher that sees people listening to him and that will tell you how great you are and how wonderful of a preacher you are. And oh, that's such a great message. And you know good and well that when they leave that place, they're going to go right back to their lives the way they live them. That they have no interest in serving the Lord. It's sad when you're just basically an entertainment to people. And that's what it was here, where he says that you are just like a lovely song to them. And certainly there's, you know, very well-known preachers today and preachers that people love to go and hear. And they'll go and hear those preachers, and they won't listen to any other preachers because they want to hear that one. They want that entertainment value. Instead of the message, they want the song. We have to be careful with that and make sure, what is our motivation for hearing the word? Is it because we love the word and we want to hear it? And there's nothing wrong with enjoying and going to hear a preacher. There's nothing wrong with taking time out of your schedule because some preacher is preaching here that you really want to hear and going and listen to them. That's great. But what's your motivation? What do you really want? Do you want to hear God's word? Or do you just want a lovely song? Last passage we're going to look at is in James 1, verses 22 through 25. James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. It says in verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. That's what we have to do it. We have to want it. We have to be willing to listen to it, and then we have to put it into action. We as Christians are responsible for that on Sundays, throughout the week as we read God's Word, however it is that we fill ourselves with God's Word, we're responsible for then living it. I encourage all of us to do that as we go about our daily lives. The role of preaching has a very important place in the kingdom of God, and I hope we see how important that is, important it is for us to be involved in the gospel lessons. And I hope that we as a congregation will continue to have these opportunities to have preaching of the gospel where we can continue to learn and grow from it. If you haven't yet become a child of God, we want you to. We want you to obey the gospel. We want you to hear the word of God and then put it into action. Repent of your sins, be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. Become a Christian today. If you're already a Christian and you have sin that you have not repented of, you have sin in your life that you need to correct, we urge you to pray to God and ask Him to forgive you. He's certainly there, ready and willing to do that. We're here to help you with your soul, help you with what you need spiritually today. Won't you come while we stand and while we sit?